There's just something about an island that draws our attention. Last week on Travel with Rick Steves, we got to know how the locals revere the Nordic heritage and stone monuments of Orkney, off the north coast of Scotland. In a moment, Martin Clunes recommends more of the offshore islands of Britain that are well worth a visit. You'll probably be hungry before the hour's over. Fred Plotkin returns to talk about the substantial pleasures of Italian cuisine and the book he and I just co-authored. And Italian-American tour guide Tony Mazzaglia points out the tasty highlights of Florence on the walking food tours that she hosts. Let's start out on the wet and windy fringes of Britain with Martin Clunes. You probably know him as the star of the Doc Martin series that has aired on public TV in the United States and on streaming services. They just wrapped up its final season last year. Martin's also known for hosting nature and travel documentaries on ITV. It started with a three-parter called Islands of Britain. He visited fabled islands from the northernmost lighthouse on Muckleflugha to a lonely helipad on Bishop Rock off the tip of Cornwall. Martin joins us from the Travel with Rick Steves archives and the warm comfort of his home studio.
Thanks for having me.
So what is it about the small islands that made you want to go to all the trouble to actually show them in a documentary?
I don't know. There's something just, to me, innately fascinating about an island. If you looked at two lakes and one had an island in it and the other didn't, you'd be interested in the one with the island, I think.
Sure would.
And there's something about island living as well that's extraordinary. And that I didn't know until I went, till I made
You know, Doc series. Martin is set in Port Isaac, and that's a small, remote village and a remote part
of Britain.
It kind
of is.
But you're taking it one step further. It's almost like you thought, hey, Port Isaac's cool, and then you can go to the extreme. Let's go out to the islands of, what are they, Scilly, out there past. They make Port Wynne look like the center of civilization.
Oh, yeah, they really do, yeah.
Tell us about the islands. Give us an overview.
They were all different, obviously. They had their own characteristics, but there were things that came up again and again. There was a sort of massively strong sense of community, all enveloping in tragedy and joy. You know, if there was anything to be celebrated, they'd all muster.
Tragedy and joy. Small, sparsely populated places. I mean, these are tiny, tiny populations where they all probably wear many different hats as they keep their communities going.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they do. Yeah, and they've all got unique stories to tell, you know, but it is interesting the commonalities.
Well, let's go on just a quick blitz around the British Islands. First of all, way off, we think of Land's End, you know, that's the southwest tip of England. A lot of tourists go there, but Land's End is just a springboard to get out to some islands farther to the southwest. What are those?
Those are the Isles of Scilly. I think there's about four or five. And yeah, they're mythical, magical places. If you get the weather right, they have the World Gig Rowing Championships. And gigs are, I think they're quite a Cornish thing, but maybe they have them all around the English coastal towns. They're six rowers, I think, in a heavy wooden boat. And we stumbled across, the first time I went to the Isles of Scilly, they had this World Championship. And everywhere you looked, there was a team of these boats in the water. It was extraordinary. And the islands are small. And
what are the boats called? Gigs?
Gigs, G-I-G.
I hadn't heard of that. So they got gig racing on the Island of Scilly.
Port Isaac has a gig racing team. I'm the president or vice president or something.
Okay, well, that's something to look for. How do you get out there? I mean, I remember you took a helicopter to one of these islands.
Yeah, a lot of helicopters out there. Yes, you can get out there. There's a ferry. It takes quite a while to sail. I think it goes from Newquay. And I think they've just stopped the helicopter running out there that you used to be able to hop over from Newquay. But I've been cut off there on a photo shoot once by the fog when the helicopters can't get out. And we had to get, I think we had to collect our daughter from school. So we just had to charter a boat to drive us through the fog.
So that's the Isles of Scilly on the southwest tip. What about halfway between England and France near Normandy, Isle of Sark?
The Channel Islands.
Yeah.
Oh, they're lovely. They're worth a visit. Yeah, Guernsey, Jersey. And my favourite is Sark, which has no cars.
No cars?
No cars, no streetlights. Lots of bicycles.
Now, tiny population, what, about 600 people live on Sark, and they have their own parliament that goes to some quirky kind of government?
Yes, they have. Well, they just, that just changed, but it was the seigneur, had the droit de seigneur, where he was technically allowed the virginity of any new bride.
They just changed that, huh?
But he gave that up.
What a rare politician. But that's the point is there, they've got a sort of a cut-off heritage that can evolve on its own track.
Yeah, and all these islands had kind of curious tales of occupation during the Second World War.
Oh, yeah, they'd be strategic in the Second World War.
Yes. Well, Queen Victoria was mad, built incredible defences, although she was convinced we were going to be attacked from there, and then she was sort of proved right later on.
Okay, so you got Sark kind of halfway between Normandy and England, and then way beyond Scotland, halfway between, really, between Scotland and Norway, you've got these islands that have a mix of Norse and Scottish culture.
Yes.
Talk about that.
Yeah, oh, they're just, they are really woolly, you know, really. It's harsh living out there, and you meet the people and they're tough. You wouldn't want to fight them.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, there's a lot of Viking stock up
there.
So
they embrace their Viking heritage?
Yeah, very much. Yeah, they keep it alive. I mean, I think a lot of it's guesswork, but there's a lot of, you know, old stones and stuff. You can see how the Vikings lived, and we know how the Vikings lived. Yeah.
But they've got North Sea oil now, so they're pretty blessed economically. You've got rich Vikings.
They've got some of the nicest tarmac you'll ever see. The roads are fantastic out there because of the oil industry.
The Shetland Islands, huh?
Oh, the Shetlands are amazing. And the Hebrides, and yeah.
The Hebrides is on the opposite side, the west side of Scotland. And you visited an island famous for its whiskey.
Oh, Islay, yeah.
Islay, yeah, right.
It's pronounced Islay, but it's spelled Islay, but it's, yes.
Islay.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
Tell us about that, because those guys were so proud of their whiskey.
They are so proud of their whiskey, as is the world, you know. I mean, it's, God knows how many millions of pounds go through that little island, but there's something in the water, they say, although all their whiskeys taste so different. They're all very unique.
So they got their North Sea oil in the Shetland Islands, but in the Hebrides, it's the whiskey, the Scottish whiskey, and the traditional culture is pretty strong there. I didn't realize that there are actually communities where a lot of people speak the Scottish Gaelic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And well, and then there's another language of the islands as well that may be lost now, but, you know, because the Shetlands, they're nearer Norway than Glasgow.
Right. So they would have that mix of cultures. And then one island that's really quirky and really proud with its own sort of heritage, of course, is the Isle of Man between Ireland and England. Talk about the Isle of Man.
Yes, that's a curious place. The Isle of Man, it took a big hit when cheap travel to France and Spain, you know, the charter flights came. Because a lot of people who like to go overseas would get the ferry over to the Isle of Man, which has lots of lovely beaches and had lots of sort of old sort of piers along there. And then it took a real pounding. Suddenly nobody went. And they reinvented themselves as a sort of banking. I don't understand how these things work, but a sort of banking center and huge sums of money being filtered through there. Not always with the best of intentions.
Well,
either.
I guess you got to roll with the times. I get the sense in Blackpool also, and in Brighton. Those were very popular when there weren't cheap flights down to the Costa del Sol in Spain. But now working class people can take their vacation and find some sunshine. I was always impressed how English people could go to Blackpool and sit on the beach in a drizzle and act like it's sunny.
That's fun for us.
It's a soft weather, you say, don't you? But the Isle of Man has a special kind of quirkiness.
Martin Clunes is best known in America for his starring role on the Doc Martin television series. It aired its final episode on Christmas 2022 on ITV in Britain. Martin has also hosted ITV documentaries about dogs, horses, lions, and lemurs. He lives on a farm in Dorset. After filming the Islands of Britain, Martin also hosted travel documentaries about the islands of Australia, America, and the Pacific. They should be available on British TV streaming services or on YouTube. He's pointing out some of the remarkable smaller islands he's visited that surround Great Britain right now on Travel with Rick Steves.
Martin, when we think about all these islands that surround Britain, what do they have in common? What did you sort of take away from the documentary you made? By the way, you can watch the documentary if you just go to YouTube and search it. But what do you take away from the people here and the communities? And maybe what can we learn from them?
Their island, because I grew up in a sort of bland suburb, not bland, really nice leafy suburb of London called Wimbledon, where the tennis happens. But it doesn't really, you know, those guys from Wimbledon, they're so, you know, there's nothing to us really. But the identity of the communities on those islands, that's what they all have. They all stand tall and they stand together through thick or thin.
Because they have the wherewithal to leave. They could go to London and try to find a job there. But
yeah, it's not always easy for them at all.
Yeah, they put up with inefficiencies and hardship in order to eke out an existence on these rocks out in the sea and their communities. What do you think the reward is for them?
I think that's a reward in itself. I think belonging to that that community, because they know that it's a strength they have over other communities. You know, they know that it's sort of mighty with them, I think.
And there's probably sort of a loneliness and lack of community in a big city, fast material world that they might embrace and appreciate in their small town island worlds.
Yeah, I bet.
All right. Chris is on the line in Valencia, California. Chris, thanks for your call.
Hello. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Martin.
Yeah.
Hi, Chris.
I'm a bit of an Anglophile, and I enjoyed your Islands of Britain series, Martin. And often when planning vacations, we tend to look to destinations abroad, and something he mentioned in the series was, you know, we have these hidden gems closer to home, and often we tend to plan to, you know, take our vacation somewhere else. And just curious, of the places that he's yet to travel to, is there one beyond Britain and one within Britain that someday he'd like to visit?
Oh, that's interesting.
Nice.
I'd like to do a lot more of Scotland. I'd like to see a lot more of Scotland. I don't really know the eastern side of Scotland. I know the west, and I know the western islands, and I know a lot of the islands now. But, you know, I've got a couple of Scottish horses, and I find myself spending more and more time in Scotland, and we love it for holidays and trips, and it's an amazing place to drive through. You know, it's really empty and wild. That would do me. And, wow, the rest of the world, I'm fascinated to go to Japan, and I'm hatching a plan to get myself there. I used to say my number one destination that I hadn't been to was Madagascar. And then a couple of years ago, I went and I made a program about the lemurs there, and I got to go there. And it's still one of my favorite places I've ever been, and I would recommend anybody to go there while it's still there.
I'm waiting for Doc Martin Does Japan. I think that sounds fascinating. Chris, thanks for your call.
Great. Thank you, Rick, and thank you, Martin. I appreciate it.
Nice to speak to you, Chris. Bye.
Bye.
Well, Martin, thank you so much from all of your fans in the United States for the work you've done with Doc Martin. And thank you also for taking us on a little tour of the mini islands that are a part of the British Islands.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much. It's been nice talking to you.
Blow the wind southerly, southerly, southerly. Blow the wind south o'er the bonny blue sea.
A visit to Italy includes that tasty bonus of endless local food specialties wherever you wander. We'll explore Italy for food lovers with Fred Plotkin next on Travel with Rick Steves.